In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the
22
lobby.
Minutes after 5 o'clock. And it's time to go to the movies. Hey, somebody actually said this the other day, a good kick out of this. Somebody said, I would like to go to the movies with Alan sometime. I want to watch how he watches a movie. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You don't take any notes.
No, I don't take notes.
Man.
It's one of those things, and it's something that's developed over time. Like I wasn't as able to do this initially. Fun fact, the first movie I ever reviewed for The Main Edge was the Rock vehicle, the remake of Escape from Witch Mountain.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that was my first movie review.
Wow. How many was it? 11 years ago?
I want to say 2009.
Oof.
Like spring of 2009. So wow. It's been a while. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I would say so. It's a Pass the Popcorn, by the way, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Your weekend went well?
Yeah, no, it was nice. Actually went down east, hung out with my in-laws for a little while. Had a chance to get out and visit my mom for a little bit. Like it was a nice little weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it was fairly low impact. Didn't really do anything, but sometimes those are the best ones.
Oh, absolutely. This time of year, no question about it. So everybody's asking, did you get to the Meg?
Yes, I did. it was an animal heavy movie going weekend.
All right.
For me.
Two or three?
I went to see two.
All right.
I went to see The Meg and I went to see Dog Days.
Ooh, there you go.
Which one would you like to hear about first?
Is Cranston in Dog Days?
No.
No. Why did I think that? He was in some dog movie.
Yeah, I'm sure. He was in the Wes Anderson one.
Yeah.
Isle of Dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So is Dog Days, is that animated?
No.
Oh, well, okay. Well, let's hear about it.
Okay, then. Sure.
Because we like dogs.
Well, it's a very easy movie to describe. You know those kind of crappy Gary Marshall ensemble movies named after holidays?
Yes.
It's like that. Oh. Only with more dogs and less famous people.
Oh.
Yeah. The dogs are delightful, as anyone who knows me. I was in the bag for this movie going in because it's like, oh, it's people, you know, dealing with adorable dogs. And so, like, I'm clearly going to engage on an emotional level with these dogs far more than I am with any human person involved in the movie. Yeah, it's one of these movies that has like a million different like plot lines that they ostensibly are going to tie together at the end, and they kind of do, but it's all very haphazard and disjointed. Let's see, we've got the barista played by Vanessa Hudgens, who's really casting around for a purpose in life, and she's got a crush on the dreamy vet Dr. Mike, played by Michael Cassidy. And she inadvertently finds a stray dog outside the coffee shop and takes it to a rescue operated by a dorky guy named Garrett, played by John Bass. Love triangle ensues, etc. Then you've got the morning show host named Liz, played by Nina Dobrev, who's dealing with the aftermath of a breakup and is taking her dog to a pet psychiatrist, played by Tig Notaro.
I like that casting,
right? And then she winds up with an unwanted co-host, former NFL wide receiver named Jimmy, played by Tone Bell. Okay, and then we've got the aspiring rock star Dax, played by Adam Pally, who's taking care of his pregnant sister's dog. The sister's played by Jessica St. Clair, and her husband Greg, played by Thomas Lennon of The State fame. And so he's watching the sheepdog named Charlie, living in his pet free apartment with the dog. You've got an elderly shut in named Walter, played by Ron Cephas Jones. He's on Luke Cage, This Is Us, and he's a widower. He's living alone with his pug named Mabel, and he has an antagonistic relationship with the pizza delivery boy, who's named Tyler and played by Finn Wolfhard.
From Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the dog escapes and they sort of team up to try and track the dog down. And then you've got Grace and Kurt, a married couple played by Eva Longoria and Rob Corddry, who are adopting and struggling to find a way to connect with their newly adopted daughter, only to have things sort of blossom when a dog, the aforementioned lost pug Mabel, wanders into their lives. But as things progress and these various storylines sort of intertwine, coming towards a less than satisfactory climax, we all learned some lessons along the way, I guess, or whatever.
So with all these characters and storylines, is it a four-hour movie, or do they just not develop the story very well?
Oh, yeah. It's like, I mean, it's 112 minutes. Like, every storyline gets, like, 20 minutes, and it's just, and it's not... that's not a lot of time, especially when you have to devote so much time to dog reaction shots, which is important. Don't get me wrong. And like, and that, frankly, that was my favorite part of the movie, was the were the dog interactions. You know, there's something really charming about watching a dude, you know, trying to sleep and getting drooled on by a dog, and then having the dog rub his butt on the guy, and it's like, oh, this rings true. But yeah, the reality is, there's just not enough time to care about anybody. The narratives don't necessarily make a lot of sense. They're very thin, and it's more sentimental than, there are a couple of funny moments, but it's much more sort of saccharine, which is surprising because it's directed by, Ken Marino, also of the State.
Wow.
Yeah. But he hasn't done a lot of directorial stuff, mostly television. And so I kind of expected it to be maybe a little bit more subversive in places. And you get maybe the occasional glimpse of that. But for the most part, it's very straightforward. Ultimately, that means the movie's kind of dull in some places. But again, like, there are dogs doing dog stuff, including emotional dog stuff, that made me like a sniffly, weepy mess because it's dogs.
Yes.
And, like, I don't care what happens to people, but dogs are important.
Dog days. If you're a dog person, you'll like it.
Yes. If you're not, you can skip it.
All right. What if you're a shark person? Will you like, what could go wrong? Big ass shark and Jason Statham.
Yeah. Jason Statham and a giant shark. Six words that to me pretty much signify like late summer movie. You know, it's not like, it's not one of these IP blockbusters, you know, not a comic book movie or a franchise sequel or anything like that. But it's Jason Statham and a giant shark. And really, that's what you're looking for. The unfortunate reality is, it's okay. Like, the movie's okay. But it's like, it's one of those things where I think tonally there were some disagreements in terms of what kind of movie they were trying to make.
Yeah, and so, is it more Jaws or Sharknado?
See, that's the thing. It's like one way or the other. I don't care which. Like, I'm going to enjoy it either way. But instead, they wind up in this sort of like limbo in the middle. So there are some parts that they treat with deadly seriousness, and then there are some other parts that are just like goofy and ridiculous. And it's like, just give me one or the other. Yeah. I don't need you to. You don't need to be all things to all people. You're Jason Statham and a giant shark. Like. Stay in your lane. Like, I mean, it's not that hard.
Do you think that was the entire pitch when you walked in to talk to the producers? So what do you have? Jason Statham and a giant shark.
Yeah, we figured out the CGI for this megalodon, this 75-foot shark, and Statham's interested. And I assume that the investors, both foreign and domestic, just wrote giant checks.
Right. How much do you need?
Yes, what do you need? And this is very much a global... effort. It's one of the production companies involved is one of the prominent Chinese houses, and so it's very much aimed at not just our box office, but even more global than a lot of the blockbusters have become in recent years.
So does it mean Statham doesn't have to talk a lot?
He doesn't talk a ton. No.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, for I'll give you the basics. He's an elite deep sea rescue diver, because of course he is.
Yeah.
But one of his rescues goes terribly, terribly wrong, due to, not any fault of his, but a some sort of mysterious giant beast that has attacked the outside of the submarine while he's trying to rescue people. He gets away with the crew of the sub, but the rest of his team, tragically is left behind. And, he's so troubled by this, and he's blackballed by the deep sea diving regulatory industry. It's not really clear what, but he winds up going to Thailand to be a drunk. meanwhile, you know, years later, we have this super high tech oceanic research project set up on an old oil drilling platform, financed by a weirdo billionaire played by Rainn Wilson, of all people, shows up in this movie. Yeah.
Wow.
But there's this, it's this father-daughter team of scientists that are running this research facility, and their basic hypothesis, and I'm not entirely sure why a billionaire would fund this project, but again, that's asking more questions than the Meg is prepared to answer. but basically it's like, the Marianas Trench is the lowest point in the Pacific Ocean. What this movie posits is, what if it's not? The basic theory is, instead of the bottom of the Marianas Trench being the ocean floor, it's some sort of cloud of, like, I think they call it, they say hydrogen sulfide. And so, sonar can't pierce it for, I don't know, science reasons. I don't really know. But so they send an expedition down in a submarine to cross through that cloud to see what's under there. It's a successful expedition as far as getting down there, but then they encounter, danger. And so there's, the standard, like, shaking, like, you know, big blips on radars and shaking things. And then you have the frantic pilot saying, Jonas was right, Jonas was right. And the transmission cuts off, Jonas being Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And so they go to recruit Statham to get back in the game, back into the deep sea rescue diving game. And he's like, nope, not interested. I don't do that anymore. Here, have a beer. And then they're like, but Jason Statham, the pilot of the submarine, was your ex-wife.
Dum, dum, dum.
So he has to go.
Yeah.
And they go down, and he goes after them to try to rescue them. And wouldn't you know it, giant shark. the megalodon. Yeah. And they're, through the process of going down and coming back up, they basically made a big enough hole in the cloud of super cool hydrogen sulfide to allow the giant shark to get out into the regular ocean.
Oh, no.
And then... yeah, no, it's on, like, wow. In a big way. So much big shark action, you don't even know, Rich.
Is it believable big shark action?
Oh, my
action?
God, no.
Oh, good.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Like, it's one of those things where you kind of wish that the CGI was either a little bit better or a lot worse. Like, so that's kind of where I'm...
just good enough to be bad?
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things where it's like... And that's this movie's whole problem. It's neither good enough... nor bad enough to be really, truly enjoyable. And it gets close a couple of times. Like, Statham, you know, is all sweaty and shirtless, and he has a couple of, like, tough guy quips, and then, you know, his face kind of moves around a little bit when he's expressing what we humans call emotions. there's one part at the climax of the movie when the fighting is really happening. I'm not going to spoil it, because it really is the most hilariously spectacular moment in the entire film. But we can all sort of agree, you go into a fight with Jason Statham, like, you know, things aren't going to go well for you, whether you're right. Like, the Rock or a shark. Yes, I had a good time. I didn't have as good a time as I was kind of hoping I would.
All right. Don't expect too much.
Yeah. However low your expectations are, maybe drop them a notch or two, right, and you'll be all right.
There you go. Alan Adams of The Main Edge talking movies with us. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
See you on Wednesday.
Yeah, you will.
9 days until you head to California for Jeopardy.
It's true. Yeah. No, it's happening. It's happening. And no one has called me or sent me an email to say, oh, sorry, Mr. Adams, we've made a mistake. So it's like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this. This is the thing that we're doing. I'm starting to get a little nervous. You know, I'm thinking about it a little bit more. A couple weeks ago, it's like, oh, that's the distant future. Like, I don't need to sweat that.
Are you doing any kind of prep at all?
A little bit. Doing some online. There are a couple of online quiz sites that I'm using to do like geography stuff. I think we talked about this. Geography is kind of a weak spot for me as far as knowing what things are called and where they are. And,
so is that why you have what appear to be a world capitals tattooed on the inside of your forearm?
I can neither confirm nor deny that bit of information. So it's just I'm trying to get my ducks in a row, but ultimately it's going to boil down to, you know, the the people who were there in the room with me and the categories on the board. If they agree with me, I think I'll do well. And if they, you know, and if I don't get lucky, then, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Exciting either way.
Yeah, right.
Alan Adams here. We'll join us again on Wednesday. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.